Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught that sometimes chastening is designed to prepare us for things that will come later into our lives. Let's continue with that subject today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
God allows chastening. He allows trials. And He allows problems to prepare us. And not all that chastening and trial is something that is correcting something wrong that we've done in our lives. Sometimes it's to train us for good. It's to train us for what's right. A child gets shots. We allow a child to get shots. The child doesn't think that's a wonderful thing that they're getting shots. But we know it may be good for them. We have a little one. He's learning to walk. Sometimes you have to walk and let him fall. It's part of the training. He learns to walk. We give them jobs. They don't like getting out there raking a yard, mowing a yard. They don't like doing some of those chores. But we're teaching the responsibility of work. So get in the Word and meditate with an obedient life. And as you read the Word and meditate on it with the idea that you're going to be obedient, you'll find that God has prepared you for the trials that will come in your life. My friend, understand this. The trials are coming. But it's better to be prepared and face them in the wisdom and power and will of God than in the power of your flesh. And so I hope that you understand that and will learn from that. And now as we move right along here, in verse 10, he says, "For verily," that means truly, "for a few days, our life growing up at home, they chastened us after their own pleasure." Now, our fathers sometimes chase us because, wow, this kid's about to drive me nuts. So sometimes fathers did it to gratify their passions rather than to reform our character. And by the way, let me say this. Again, this is in child rearing. If you wait until you get upset, you will communicate to your children that they only stop doing what is wrong when they see you are mad or upset. Also, you'll be doing it more out of anger than love. Now, I've used this illustration, I believe, before on this radio broadcast, but let me use it again. You tell a child, it's 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever is the bedtime around your home. It's 9 o'clock, it's time for you to go to bed. Child says, I'm watching this program. Well, it's time to go to bed. Can I say it? No, it's time to go to bed. Okay. 5 minutes later, they're still standing in front of the TV watching that program. And you say, I told you it's time to go to bed. Okay, okay. And they start heading that way. You walk out of the room. 10 minutes later, you come back in the room and they're in front of the TV. Now you're upset and you start screaming, I told you to get in that bed right now. I'm going to take this belt off. I'm going to well you. I'm going to turn you inside out. And you're yelling and screaming. You're red in the face. They get up and they run into the bedroom. Now, what have you done? You have trained them that you don't mean it until you start screaming, turning red in the face, and yelling like some kind of an idiot. So again, if you teach them to obey the first time, perhaps down the road, they'll learn to obey God the first time and won't have to go through the chastening of God in order to learn to do right. Now you say, well, Pastor, that's not the way I've been doing it. My kids are now they've been around for several years, and I haven't been doing it that way. What do I do? Well, sit down. Just tell your children, you know what? I've been doing this wrong, not because I wanted to, but because I didn't realize I was doing it wrong. And I'm going to start doing it right. And I'm going to do it right because I love you, and I want you kids to turn out to be the best that you can be. And I tell you what, if you tell them that, you back it up. Don't ever tell kids you're going to do something, then don't do it. They'll catch on to that in a hurry. Now, we've responded to our parents in respect of their power and authority. We should respond to God in and hold Him in awe and love. Yet, how often do we rebel? We ask ourselves, why should I have to suffer? Well, how could this be good for me? Now, let me just say this about chastening as well. Now, I've noticed in my life that when God is chastening me, I know it right off the bat. I know why He's chastening me. I don't have to, when these bad things come in my life, say, "Now, I wonder what it was that I did." I know He's got to be chastening me for something. I just can't think of what it is. No, God's been working in my heart on it. Kind of like we do with our children. We correct them verbally, and then we move to the next step. So, sometimes it's that, but other times, we don't know why we're being chastened. And He is allowing us to go through a trial, because He's molding our character. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, be manifested in me and through me when I'm going through the crucibles of life. We sing that song, "Mold me, make me after thy will." Well, the apostle said that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, but also the fellowship of His sufferings, and been made conformable unto His death. And that's the hard part, in the molding and the making. Now understand, God's chastening has no limitations. Human chastening, given in as much love as humanly possible, has limitations. With all the best intentions in the world, parents make mistakes. They under-discipline. They over-discipline. They fail to discipline at all. Or they discipline from the wrong motives. And they discipline in the wrong way. They discipline at the wrong time. Now let me say this. All good parents make mistakes in this area. However, often there are prideful parents. Maybe they learn from a professor, maybe some books they've read, or a so-called Christian psychologist, and they think they have the corner on wisdom and child rearing. When things go wrong, they don't admit their mistakes. Instead, they blame someone or something else. Now, friend, beware of parents who think they are authorities and begin instructing others on what they're doing wrong. There's a man and a lady that had a problem with the nursery. Now, listen, I've grown up in church, and in over 60 years, I don't think I've ever seen a church that had a nursery that didn't have criticism of the nursery. But for some reason or other, these parents thought that it was their duty to be down on the nursery. They didn't even think the church should have a nursery. They said the babies can learn in church. They said, no, you'd be surprised at what comes in through those babies' ears, and they're able to understand. Now, when they come to me about us, as well, in all my years, I've never seen a baby walk the aisle and get saved, or crawl down the aisle. I says, but, you know, even going along with what you're saying, we've got a speaker going into the nursery so the babies can still hear the message. But what some of these people would do is they'd try to put other mothers on a guilt trip. They'd say something like this, "Why would you want to leave your little ones with others, especially in an environment that they're not used to, but maybe once or twice a week? Why would you not want to have your children with you?" Well, now, one of the couples I remember doing that I seen out eating, while babies had her set with their children at home. And you know, I wanted to ask them that. I just wanted to say, why guys leaving your children with a sitter? Why don't you want them with you? I didn't. That was all the flesh. But that, I wanted to say that, and I must admit that. But every time a child gets sick in the nursery, these people say, uh-huh. That's what we mean. Should never put them in the nursery. And that's funny. They never blame the family. They never blame the home, the house, the dirt outside they play in all week. They never blame the places they visit through the week. I say that because it's an example of how Satan works. And usually these are good people that are not aware that it's the devil working in them, that the devil has brought this about. Now, don't be a Freud and blame others. Always take responsibility and teach your children responsibility instead of the blame game, as we come back to this idea of personal responsibility. And don't say because the parents didn't do exactly right or they put their kids in a church nursery that it's their parents' fault their kids didn't come out good, okay? Now, there's a danger today of a false Bible doctrine that says the sins of the father curses the children to the third and fourth generation. Now, again, if you go back there and read the passages, you'll find that's not true. It doesn't say anything about the word curse. It's not a curse. Now, there may be consequences that affect the third and fourth generation, but there's not a curse on the Christian person. I mean, they may have an STD that affects generations down the line. But don't blame the sin of the generation on their ancestor. As we said earlier, Adam sinned, but God doesn't blame him for my sin. And God's not going to hold him accountable for my sin unless that in the Scriptures, for every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God, is in error. See, there are no scriptural references that God held Adam and Eve responsible for Cain's sin and for your sin, mine's sin, and therefore holds us guiltless because we couldn't help it, because we were preordained to do so. Let God be true and every man and every theory a liar. Yea, even those who teach on the home at the expense of free will. You say, what do you mean at the expense of free will? Well, you ever hear people say, well, if you'll do this, then they won't ever do that. If you'll do this, you'll do that, then this is what'll happen. There's no way they'll go wrong. There's no way they'll mess up. And it's a Calvinistic teaching to say, if you do this, then this will never happen because they won't have the free will to be able to do so. Well, the good news is that God makes no mistakes.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Bible.